On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, women's basketball are undefeated regular season champs, baseball has another weekend sweep, and men's basketball struggles yet again. All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 135 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. How y'all doing out there, Gamecock Nation? Hope y'all had a lovely weekend out there. I understand it was very, very nice weather-wise out in the Carolinas. Obviously up by me, it was not the case, but nevertheless, it did not stop me from enjoying all of the action that was around Carolina sports. It was a very busy weekend yet again, and I feel like I'm just going to keep saying this, at least while both basketball teams are in action, while baseball's happening, because it is just constant action, and I love it. I mean, that's why we get up in the morning, right? Like, that's what we're doing here as sports fans. We look forward to our games, and it was a fun weekend for sure. So got a lot to dive into, especially with women's basketball and the baseball team. But before I do that, let's run through a quick weekend recap from around USC Athletics here. Starting on Saturday, you had women's tennis in action twice. First, they lost to Oklahoma State 4-0, but then turned right around and beat Wichita State 4-1. So there you go. Softball continues to be on a tear, beating Tennessee Tech 21-1. Sheesh. And beach volleyball was in action. They beat Cal Poly 5-0 and then also unfortunately lost to FIU 4-1. So that was your Saturday. And then on Sunday, you had softball in action twice, beating Belmont 5-4, and then beating Tennessee Tech yet again, this time to the tune of 10-2. So fantastic weekend from the softball team, and poor Tennessee Tech. I don't know anything about them. I don't know where they are outside of Tennessee, obviously. I don't know anything about their softball program. But you just lost to the South Carolina Gamecocks by a combined score of 31-3. So, sorry. Sorry, not sorry, really. And then Sunday, beach volleyball lost to Washington 3-2. So, sort of a mixed bag for beach volleyball. But overall, a very good weekend for South Carolina athletics. Which brings me to men's basketball. Really on the opposite end of the spectrum here. Men's basketball lost to Tennessee. They were in action on Saturday, this was. Lost 85-45. Yeah, I mean, there's just really not a whole heck of a lot you can say here, right? I mean, shit. I mean, in the first half, this was a decently competitive game, right? And that's a positive spin on it. I mean, Carolina was down double digits at the half, and just in the second half, Tennessee had an early massive run, like 22-4, I think it was, and that just turned the game into a rout. South Carolina just could not get anything going offensively in the second half. GG had a subpar game. And really what was a really bad loss for this team. I mean, last time we played Tennessee, it also was ugly when it was at home. But I was just singing this team's praises, saying like how the eye test looks better and how the last five, six games we've seen, they've looked better overall. I mushed it. I totally mushed it. That's just, of course, they turn around and do this. You know, just the whole team, really. It was just a subpar performance. You know, Tennessee is a very physical team, and it just seemed like when it turned to that kind of game, we just did not have the guys to hang with them. You know, Lamont Paris said as much, saying that Carolina is more of a finesse team right now, finesse style, and Tennessee is just super physical and just couldn't hang with them, right? So tough loss, tough game. Some player highlights here. Really, it was just Hayden Brown. He went 18 points and was the only Gamecock in double figures. And then Jacoby Wright had 7 points as well. So really not what you need. Not what you need if you're trying to hang with a highly ranked team at their place. But nevertheless, we march on here. Next game for the men is Tuesday night at Mississippi State. I think this is the second to last game in the regular season. So the season is coming to a close. Of course, we'll have the conference tournament as well. But Mississippi State here is 19-10 overall, 7-9 in the SEC. Last time these two teams play, it was back at the end of January with State beating Carolina 66-51. That was real, like, you know, back in the dark days of this season. Not that there's been a whole heck of a lot of the bright days, but that was in, like, the bad losing streak. So, you know, this is a different team now. But my crow to the game for this matchup here is shake it off, right? Like, I'm not getting – this isn't a basketball crow to the game. This is a mental just shake it off, right? This team has had two tough losses back-to-back, right? Albeit for very different reasons. You know, you had the heartbreaking, so close, almost to an upset against Alabama. Maybe this game against Tennessee was a bit of a hangover from that game, and then you just ended up getting smoked by Tennessee, frankly. So the guys need to shake off these last two games. They got to shake it off, go into Starkville, ready for a fight. Starkville is middle of the road at best in the SEC. It's a game where, you know, we're going to have to show up. You're going to have multiple guys in double figures. The defensive effort has to be there. It's not out of the realm of possibility that this is a close game if those things happen, right? So you have to just flush away that Tennessee game. You have to say, all right, we were close with Alabama. It didn't happen. We can't let them beat us again. So shake it off and go into the game ready to play. Let's go, Cox. I think that's a late tip-off, too, like maybe 9 p.m., because it's in Central Time. Moving over to women's basketball, it was Senior Day Sunday in Colonial Life for the regular season finale. And, y'all, I'm sure I was not alone in this one. The waterworks were flowing early. It was emotional. I mean, the team tweeted out that the video, the very touching video for this senior class, them all, you know, reading their messages to one another and what they mean to each other and what Dawn Saley and the program mean to them and their development and everything like that. It was pulling at the heartstrings. I was laying on my couch on my phone, like, tearing up. Who was cutting onions in my living room? I mean, really, it was tough. But the ladies went out the right way, capping off an undefeated regular season to become SEC regular season champs, beating Georgia 73-63. And I'm going to get into all this in a minute here, but just for this game here, it felt like there were moments where the ladies were a little out of sorts, right? I mean, maybe the emotions of the day came into play. It is the second time these teams have played, so Georgia did some advanced scouting and things like that, but there were some silly turnovers from Carolina that just allowed Georgia to hang around. And also, it was a really tough day from the free throw line for the ladies, which held Carolina back. It really held them back from running away with this game, particularly in the second half, because that's when it felt like Carolina settled in more. And especially Camilla Cardozo, who had a monster second half. And in that second half, Georgia just simply had no answer for. But, I mean, with this win right here, this team caps off truly a remarkable season, right? It's a year where they had a target on their back all season long as not just one of the best programs in the country, right? Knowing that we're a powerhouse, but also defending national champs. So you're going into each game and each team is giving you their best shot no matter what. And this team found a way to win. This team won in a few different ways. And the production from the bench is just truly a weapon for this team. And this core group of seniors that were sent off on Sunday, they never have flinched to adversity. And their ability to adjust in game is phenomenal. And of course, that's all following the leadership and the direction and the smarts of Dawn Staley. So just a fantastic regular season, SEC regular season champs. But it's funny because, you know, you could argue that the best is yet to come, right? This team is not settling for that. They don't want to just be regular season SEC champs. This is a core that has won a national championship. This is a core that wants to get back there. If you listened to the announcers in this game, they were making the case that this team is drastically better than last year's because you see the development of some of the bench players and you see the production from the bench, and that's what makes this team even more difficult to play against compared to last year's. So it's very exciting, just a cherry on top of a phenomenal year. Some player highlights from the game: you had Aaliyah Boston, 25 points and 11 rebounds. Zaya Cook with 12 points, Bree Beal with 8 points, and then Camilla Cardozo, 13 points and 10 rebounds. So up next for the Gamecocks, it's the postseason. Postseason play is set to begin. The SEC tournament begins this upcoming week in Greenville, and the Gamecocks will have that top seed and the double bye. So plenty of time to rest and prepare. I will keep y'all up to date on the matchup that ends up being for the Gamecocks and previews both here on the show and then also on social media. So make sure to follow me there. Which brings me to the all weekend game, the finale, I guess, of the weekend of all the major action, which came from the baseball team. The Gamecocks took on the University of Pennsylvania Quakers, which is just the perfect name for University of Pennsylvania. But in what was a very competitive series, but the Gamecocks were able to sweep the Quakers and remain undefeated to start off this season incredibly well. I know going into this game on Sunday, the Gamecocks were only one of two undefeated teams in the SEC. I'm not sure if that is still the case after Sunday, but nevertheless, that speaks volumes, right? I know the level of competition at some points early in the year varies, but Penn is a pretty good team, right? They had a really good season last year. They had a core of guys from that season, so this was a very competitive series, and both teams seemed to be chippy throughout. I mean, there were a few times you had guys on either side jawing at each other, celebrating very big strikeouts, the bat flips, things like that. It was chippy. And I mean, I was annoyed with it. I mean, you're the University of Pennsylvania playing in Founders Park in Columbia, South Carolina. What do you possibly have to jaw at? What are you possibly saying? This was their first series of the year. You're not this hot team that's this big shot in the nation. It made no sense for me. But I think you also had a South Carolina team that's fired up to defend Founders Park. And that's this energy and this attitude that I think is a little bit different than last year's, that you have a lot of guys taking extra pride in playing for South Carolina in defending Founders Park and wanting to do it well. But things certainly did not come easy for Carolina in this set. You know, you saw the team having to dig deep and battle that win anyway type of mentality. And as good as the team's offense had been coming into this series, you know, it started well the first game, but I was really noticing this, I guess, worrying trend in this series where the Gamecocks were stranding runners on bases, getting guys to the plate, hitting well with runners in scoring position, particularly in the second and third game, was a concern. So that happens, right? Baseball is a finicky game. Penn does have some decent pitching. They have good defense. So I'm not going to read into it too much yet, but that's something that you want to not have a trend, right? It's hard to win consistently when you don't hit well with runners in scoring position. But let's look at each game here. So game one, you had South Carolina winning 7-4. Carolina jumped out to a 5-0 lead early. Penn battled back, but the Gamecocks were able to tack on some insurance later in the game and hold on. Will Sanders got the start and the win, going 5 innings and giving up just one unearned run. Player highlights included Caleb Denny going 3-for-5 with 3 ribbies and Will McGillis going 2-for-4. And then on game two, you really had a baseball purist's dream. You had South Carolina winning 1-0, the shutout victory. Noah Hall was incredible in this game, going 8 innings, giving up just 3 hits, and logging 12 strikeouts. He was jacked up a couple of times too. Got out of jams, got some big strikeouts, really showing his emotion and just jawing, just not letting these Penn guys get an inch. And this is what can make this Gamecocks team dangerous to me, right? Game one, you had your veteran ace in Will Sanders get the win. And then in game two, you effectively have your second ace be able to win and get a shutout when the team only scored 1 run behind him. That is incredibly impressive and incredibly difficult to do. I mean, you got to give a little bit of credit to the Penn pitchers for shutting out Carolina at times. It seemed like they were getting some momentum going, but were just not able to cash in, right? Ethan Petrie was responsible for the lone run of this game with a solo home run. Really nice start to the year for Petrie there. Which brings me to the finale and game three, which really just turned into a battle of wills. It was a back and forth clawing at each other type of game. South Carolina was able to come from behind and take the victory, winning 6-5 to earn a second consecutive sweep. Just a phenomenal crowd out there too. If you were in Columbia, I'm incredibly jealous because you could have gone senior day at Colonial Life for the women's basketball game and then shot right over to Founders. It was about the third inning or so when things switched over, so you could have gotten that's a fantastic day. That's like a top five day. Nevertheless, here, back to this game. Carolina, it seemed like we were trying to get the big knock all day, but once again just had trouble finding it, leaving guys on base in big spots a couple of times. And Penn was leading late until Gavin Cassis and Will McGillis went back-to-back solo home runs in the 8th inning to take the lead. Just electric. Chris Veach come in after that, gets the save. Jack Mahoney, he had the start, got a no decision. He went 5 1/3, gave up 4 runs. Cade Austin was your winning pitcher for Carolina. Just a gutsy, gutsy win for this team to secure the sweep. Just feels so good. It'll be interesting to see how Penn does this year, but you know they did stand toe-to-toe with us. I think they're a solid team. This is a series that really could get the minds right for South Carolina, having to dig deep and go against a veteran ball club here and win. Player highlights from this game, Wimmer went 3-for-4 with a home run, and then the aforementioned heroes of the game, Gavin Cassis and Will McGinnis, having those back-to-back home runs. up next for South Carolina. You're looking at a midweek matchup Tuesday against North Carolina A&T. My crow to the game here is hit well with runners in scoring position. Just get that muscle memory of getting a guy home when he's on second or third. That will pay dividends later in the year. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.